Under order. Let's go to HR 22. Karen, there's more witnesses here on that than anything else. Jerry, do you want to come up and...
I'd like to have Kyle Meyer.
Aye.
And John Parker.
Aye. Just everybody identify yourself on the mic, and then when you talk, why say who's talking so that we'll know it when the tape comes out.
I'm Jerry Barnes, Tax Division Department of Justice, representing the Department of Revenue. Essentially, HCR 22, which has passed the House, is a enabling legislation to allow the legislature to set qualifications for assessors. And I'll ask Mr. Byers to talk on that and Mr. Parker's. But we feel that it's an essential bill because the public got to have an opportunity to vote on this question. There is a House Bill 2298, which actually sets some qualifications, and at this point has only a qualification of certified appraiser. But we feel that they are really separate bills, and that House Bill 2298 isn't even necessary as far as the assessors are concerned this session. But we feel that this one is, because without it, 2298 is going to go into place anyway.
Well, I thought that maybe I just looked at the description in the front, the summary, but I thought that 2298 included language about assessors. Was that your recollection?
Well, 2298
I didn't even look at it, I'm sorry.
Does set qualifications, that's right. And initially, it was drafted at the same time as HCR 22. In fact, I drafted both of them. But they have stripped everything from 2298, and it's not what we're saying is we would like to see HCR 22 out because it's a constitutional amendment, and unless the constitutional amendment passes, House Bill 2298 isn't going to do anything anyway.
Senator Carter.
The problem, Jerry, as I mentioned to you before we started, is that, and I'll give my own a case, I've been pretty rigid on letting the public know what it is the legislature has in its mind on setting the qualification. And we're doing more and more of this. So we're shipping out constitutional amendments so that the legislature can set guidelines. And we'll get around to it sometime. And we have some legislators saying this is what the guidelines are going to be, and other legislators saying this is what the guidelines are going to be, and I'm worried about the public saying they're voting for it for a variety of the wrong reasons. I'm not saying very well. The lottery bill is a good example. Permit lotteries, the legislature eventually will get around to saying what lotteries we're going. Some are saying it's for schools, some say charity, some say open. And so I'd like to have them both to get my preference would be to pass. If we don't pass a statutory requirement for assessors, then the enabling constitutional amendment is zero itself. So they ought to go together. It seems to me that we ought to pass the House bill that puts the qualifications of assessors and make it effective upon passage of the constitutional amendment, which is normally the way we do it, and I bet that's the way you designed it when you put them together.
The only thing I would say about that, Senator, is that the qualifications which will be set under this are not included in HCR 22, and you would probably want them.
I agree.
So that whatever qualifications were set by this legislature, if any, can be changed by the next one.
Oh, I understand.
And all you're doing in this is providing that the legislature do set the qualifications now or in the future.
Well,
and so House Bill 2298 isn't even isn't very viable as far as that.
Well, Jerry, you're missing the point. What Senator Carson's saying is that as far as we're concerned, we're going to set the qualifications of the assessor in this session, and we can change what we want to, but when people say what's HJR 22 all about, we can show them House Bill 2298 and give them some idea of what we're talking about as far as qualification. That's what he's saying.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGee.
I would concur wholeheartedly with Senator Carson in this instance, simply because of my experience in the last session of the legislature regarding adding county sheriffs.
Yes, to this right. List. That's what this is.
This bill is patterned after that.
Exactly.
Senator Burbidge, you move to this committee. Would you take a seat down there as a witness?
I'm doing my own committee right now.
I want you to witness here on HJR 22 right now.
My opinion is here. May I make this presentation, Mr. Chairman?
Not yet. You wrestled me around that elections committee ever since I've been on there.
Oh, I see. I see what's coming up.
I didn't sign up.
You're signed up. Now look, you got HB 2298 over in your committee, which deals with the originally dealt with the qualifications of assessors. And we got HBR 22, which is the enabling legislation, so that that bill can be viable and have anything about assessors. They ought to both be in the same committee. Now, apparently they stripped out the stuff about assessors out of HB 2298. It ought to be back in there. We're going to put out HJR 22. So there's a little rule called 9.01 says when a bill is reported out without a recommendation as to its passage, but with a recommendation that it be referred to another committee, said bill may then be referred to such other committee as the president may direct. Now, we did this once here, but recommended the committee that it ought to go to. Now, I suggest either we ought to do this with HJR 22 sent to your committee, or you ought to send HB 2298 over here. Now, originally, I thought we ought to send this over to you, but in view of the fact that they stripped out everything about assessors, I am now of the opinion that probably ought to send HB 2298 over here.
Mr. Chairman, which committee are you speaking about?
That little committee they call the election committee.
Your committee.
Call
EF2.
Election. That's the only one I serve on with you.
I'm
not across myself.
Well, now you're able to read the votes better than I am. Maybe you figure.
Well, we got three members. We got. Are you agreeable? Are you agreeable to doing that?
I don't like to do business in such haste, Mr. Chairman.
We got three votes right here on your committee.
Three that show up. Right here, you're voting.
Why don't you have something to present this morning?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Okay, so we got the four men.
Mr. Chairman, these are some 8,000 petitions from the citizens of Marion County, and they wish to be represented here as
all 8,000 of them
in opposition. All 8,000 of them. If you want them, they'll rent a hall, and if you'll hold a meeting there when you get to those boundary board bills. And this is an expression of my constituents and Senator Carson's constituents, and I will graciously offer them, and some from Senator Meeker's district. So, yes, I'm sure there are. From out in the North Marion County. It would certainly serve the committee well, I think, to take into consideration the token of expression here by those 8,000, because that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I hope you never come into the real expression of that.
8,000 is just the tip. Eh?
Thank you for your cooperation, Senator.
Thank you. This has nothing to do with this bill, but why in the world are county surveyors elected?
You're right, it doesn't have anything to do with the bill. Well, we've had several speeches on the floor of the Senate about that.
Your county assessors are dear to my heart. My father was a county assessor for 20 years in Lincoln County, Idaho.
Lincoln County, Idaho. Is that the same place you used to collect bottles and candy bars?
Show. 1,137 feet.
I've got to go back there and see those dogs. So some kind of dog.
Did I understand, Senator, you want to delay our testimony on this bill then until?
No, we might as well do it now.
Okay, I tell you what, we got Representative Blumenauer here. Earl, what's your schedule right now?
I'm in the tax.
Well, you're within the tax committee. Well, I think we're going to be a little bit file on those road bills. Why don't you want to go back over there, and then we'll send somebody after just as soon as we get to those Levy O'Hara.
Don't hesitate at all.
Take care of the tax problem.
Just vote aye.
Okay. do you want to?
I'm Hal Byer, the assessor from Lynn County. The Assessors Association, for a period of time, have felt that there should be qualifications for the job of assessor throughout the state of Oregon, except in those counties, obviously, where they have home rule. And however, in home rule, some of the home rule counties, they are still elected. We feel it's highly important to the technicalities of the job today, data processing, ratios, market value, cycling, what have you, and all the complicated things that are put before them. There should be at least some basic minimum requirements. We're not asking that anyone be shut out from running for the office, but we feel that at least those persons running have a minimum background. And should a person win the election, at least there's a fighting chance that you'll get some quality in an office. It's hard to believe in this day and age that the assessor is the old-time assessor anymore. There's no such animal. And I think in the Valley in particular, it's more of a management, long-range program. I think John and Lynn County, myself and Lynn, obviously in Multnomah and some of those counties, it's a full-time job just trying to run the crew, keep up with the laws, testify for the legislature to do that. So the association as a whole, all 36 counties, are supporting qualifications for assessors, would like the thing on the ballot for the people to vote on and let the legislature set the qualifications. We in no way want to stop the ability of anyone to run for office, but at least in certain areas there should be some qualifications.
What in the bill, in the original bill, what were the qualifications in 2298?
The qualifications was a minimum management background of personnel. It was a very, very loosely written, an educational background, service in the assessor's office is part of it. I think
was that a requirement?
Was part of the reason, yes. Would qualify
as an alternative.
In other words, we suggested perhaps five or six things and a combination of three of the six, which would not grandfather everything in there. That's basically what we were thinking. John, do you want to go on beyond that point?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm John Parker, Director of Assessment and Taxation of Lane County. The time through the years, as all of you know, that we have had a very, very difficult time. The average tenure of assessor in the state of Oregon is about 6 years. And when a person is running in the primaries, they're running out increased notices. When they're running at the election time, they just sent out the tax statements which reflect the valuation that the assessor has placed on the assessment roll. So they're particularly vulnerable. And we feel that they should have qualifications in order to get a person in there that can administer the bill, that really we're an arm of you in local government, because we're carrying out your ideas, your orders, your direction, and from the Department of Revenue, the rules and regulations that are promulgated by them to direct us to do our job. As Mr. Byer said, it's no longer a small business. My budget annually runs about $1.33 million a year. I have 145 people in the department down there. And the person that ran against me was on probation for throwing paint remover on automobiles and stripes. And these are the things that you have.
Do you have any other qualifications?
That was essentially it, sir. He was 23 years of age and he told people he was going to reduce their taxes if he got an office. He came within 3,500 votes of beating me. I've been in it 15 years. And maybe that's too long. Maybe this is some of the things. But nevertheless, this is essentially all the qualifications he had. And we think, as some of you know, our recent man from Clackamas County that was beaten out, he was very highly thought of here in the legislature. He did a terrific job. An outstanding man. And no reflection on the person that beat him, but they did not have any experience, and they're having a very difficult time. Where almost a third of the staff then walks out with the assessor. And they just, to keep their head above water, it becomes a very, very difficult job in the office. It disrupts the whole staff. So these are some of the problems that we're facing today.
Are there any questions with Senator Meeker?
We don't have the qualifications, Bill. We mentioned we do.
Wait, we're going to have.
Would you like to know what the qualifications that were in the original 2298 that were?
I think it'd be helpful.
As I said, this has been limited now.
Let me finish. Senator Burby is going to send the bill over to us.
Yeah, I don't care what we call, but I mean, we technically don't have.
No, okay. We got HCR 22.
I don't have a copy of this one.
No.
I can briefly read it. As it was drafted originally, it says that a person is not eligible to hold the office of county assessor unless, one, he is a certified appraiser, and has successfully completed the basic real estate appraisal 1 course given by the American Institute of Real Estate Appraisers, or an equivalent course presented, supervised, and graded by a nationally recognized society, such as the International Society of Real Estate Appraisers, or the International Association of Assessing Officers, and he had 2 years of office and accounting experience, including experience in office management, or he had 2 years of full-time employment in the office of the county assessor.
Why should an assessor be an appraiser?
Well, because primarily he's supervising people that are in...
Herb Perry in Portland, I guess, one of them has largest staff of all. He's an attorney. He was a deputy district attorney. He was appointed there. I don't think anybody would say that he was. Anybody is much more qualified.
Well, they've stripped everything from 2298 but appraisers now.
May I suggest probably the word appraiser, why it is put in there. There are some qualifications in order to be able to take the appraisal exam in the state of Oregon, which is a college background, or in lieu of some business experience. So they feel, I'm sure, that you have to have a background to take the appraiser exam given by the state. And that gives some of this background, and that's why that word appraiser is in there. He may not be able to appraise anything, but he had the background and was qualified in order to take that exam. You just can't walk in other words, off the street and say, I want to take the appraiser's exam.
Senator Burns, if I may answer that, in Herb Perry's particular instance, most people do not walk in and talk directly to them. I mean, it's more difficult. The larger the office, the more difficult it is to get to see the head man. In most of the counties, the individual, the taxpayer, when he comes in, he wants to see the assessor. He wants to talk to the assessor. He wants to know why his property value went up. And people come in and they want to see me. And I talk to them, and I can talk to them because I have done appraising. And I can say, well, now you have class 3 land, and class 3 land is classified at so much value. And you have class 6 land, or your house, valuation of it is this because the obsolescence and depreciation and so forth is so much on your property. And having been out in the field and having talked to these people and having seen these things, I think that I can do a better job and the assessors can do a better job in talking to the people and getting right down and talking their language. If a person has not been an appraiser, an individual comes in to talk to him, then he says, well, gosh, Let me get someone else. And I think that people feel that they can go to their department heads, they can go to their assessors and get the answers if they have the background.
Well, I'd like to see these qualifications for an appraiser.
All right. You mean to take the certified appraisal exam? All right. Their personnel division of the state supervises it. Well,
I'd like to see them.
Send to you at the same time.
Why don't you get us a copy of the original bill drafted? Did you draft?
Yes, I drafted.
Get that, and then the qualifications, to get those over to us, and then we'll talk to Senator Burby about getting that bill over here, so we at least have it all under one umbrella.
Do you have a time period? Your tomorrow?
I'll get back to
first part next week.
When? This is a house. Been through the house already. Okay. So about a week.
Do you think Wheeler County could produce anybody the first qualification?
Wheeler?
Yeah.
Well, even if they did, I don't think they have much to do. That county has got 3 little towns in there, Gray, Mitchell, and Fossil, and including your
cousin.
Bone Rocks.
Well, yeah,
but
what do they do? Are they going to find anybody to qualify?
Well, they've had an assessor. He's a certified appraiser.
He is
gone through our schools. Yeah. We give courses too, you know, Department of Revenue.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How? You mean the Department of Revenue gives courses?
Hold short courses, yeah.
Pardon me?
Hold short courses, appraising techniques.
But the person's got to have some college training before you do that?
Or equivalency.
Mm-hmm. Experience in lieu of.
Well, what if a guy comes in off the street and give him a course?
Well, they're usually offered by the Department of Revenue to people in assessor's offices.
Well, that's after they become an assessor. You can't.
No, not after they become an assessor. If they're in the assessor's office, tax collector school.
There's a question by Senator Meeker and Senator Carson.
The one thing that bothers me, Jerry, is that the language originally was in there. I know we've been trying to, we've got several other appraiser bills and trying to, because there are all sorts of competing national organizations. But the language is a little loose, and what I'm worried about, I can appreciate that, and of course the escape valve is the or.
Personnel.
Is that who?
That's the administrator, yeah.
Well, what I'm thinking about, I fought, and I say I have qualifications fitting the similar national organization, and my opponent says, oh, no, you don't. You don't match the statute, Jim. Where is that resolved? Ultimately, in a court? Is that where?
Well, let me make, I think that there should be, well, I suppose that could be an eventual result, but if you have the personnel division, which is charged with supervising this, I think it's somewhat like this. Getting a divinity of life, you know. These organizations that are listed here, and I'm sure the assessors have no particular great feeling for these, but these are nationally recognized organizations. Just, you know, like the ABA, they're established, and I think that personnel division is capable of sifting those out. Now, I don't know whether you even have to name those if you don't feel that it's necessary.
Well,
but they're so well known in the field that and just accepted. But
it's not so much the naming of those that the ones when you say or other. In other words, you're trying to be very fair, but your fairness then opens up each end to a question of whether I send away to the Pasadena College of Appraisers and send my $25 and I get my diploma back saying I'm an appraiser because the Pasadena City College of Appraisers says that. Now, can I now run? And that's the question. I just want to preclude the qualification being throwing paint remover on cars as one of the tuition requirements for assessors.
Well, I think probably the three that are named here, the International Society of Real Estate Appraisers and the American Institute and the International Association of Assessing Officers are probably the three major.
Then if we cut it off right there.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, that's all I'm arguing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be arguing.
I see your point.
I'd rather have it as definite so that people know whether or not they can run for the office. Whether, you know, 2 years is definite. Have you worked 2 years? And this sort of thing.
Further questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other witnesses on HR 22? The hearing on that. Who's here on 2518 and 2737? Bill?
My name is Bill Penhall, staff member of the Association of Oregon Counties. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2518 was introduced at the request of the Washington County Board of Commissioners. Mr. Solomon indicated to me yesterday that he would not be able to be here today to discuss the bill. He will be available tomorrow night when the other Washington County bills are discussed and can fill you in on more detail with respect to the provisions of 2518. If you like, though, I can provide you with some basic information.
Why don't you go ahead?
The 2518 deals with the county market road system, a system that was established prior to the turn of the century to give priority to roads that provided ways of travel for farmers and bringing their products and traveling to and from cities, or farm to market roads is what the original provision was. This law provided for a special levy by the county to construct and maintain these ways. Over the years, the county market road has lost its distinction due to basically a change in terminology. Roads are now classified as arterials and collectors and land access and similar type designations. And many of the market roads serve as the main arterials for a county. In some instances, they do not. Most counties have ignored the provisions in Chapter 369, which provides that there shall be a designation of the market road system by the county engineer or the county roadmaster. They have assumed these as just county roads as the rest of their system. The law also provides that certain method of handling these market roads when they're established, notifying the State Highway Division of the establishment of the market roads, so on. The last market road, to my knowledge, that was designated was some 8 to 10 years ago in Benton County. Benton County followed the statutes to the letter, sent the plans and the profile designation of the market road system to the State Highway Division, to the City and County Relations Section. They had felt they had no responsibility for it. It bounced around the Highway Division for a number of months, and I think it finally ended up somebody sticking it off in a corner. They feel that this law has been lying dormant for so many years that no one really knows what to do when the market road is established. At the present time, we have two counties that are making a levy separate from their county road levy for market road system. And this is Baker County and Willamette County. And I have corresponded with both of those counties. Willamette County feels that it's a good provision that they treat their market roads no different than their county roads, and for matters of accounting and administrative procedure, they feel that this bill would simplify their road operation. The amendment, or the engrossed version of the bill, provides for a method of transferring that levy in those two counties from the market road levy to the general road levy, so that they do not lose the amount of money that they're levying for the maintenance and construction of these roads. I'm sure the feeling of Washington County and most other county officials that the market road law is archaic, it is not used, and for this reason, feeling that there's no need for it to be left on the statutes.
Well, actually, they can levy for county roads.
Yes.
So they got two methods of levying for roads, is that correct?
Yes, with Chapter 368, which provides for county roads, and then 369, which provides for county market roads.
Just terminology.
Yeah, right, it's just terminology there. You're both recognized now as county roads, except in many instances you'll see on the name post that it still bears the name of Butler Market Road or Northwest Market Road or whatever it might be.
All right, let me ask you something. You're here to testify on 2737-2?
Yes.
What does that bill do?
2737 is Representative Blumenauer's bill.
I don't think that.
And we worked with Representative Blumenauer on the House side to straighten this bill out. Originally, it's supposed to improvements on private ways, and we're extremely concerned about this, about the county going in and making improvements to a road that is in private ownership and then having an owner or a subsequent owner deny the public use of this road.
Well, is that what this bill originally
I think basically what we, what the city needs to understand.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Is that what this bill originally did?
Yes. And it's been amended to speak to another element of roads, the public road, which is kind of in limbo. If I may explain, there's private roads, I think, which everyone understands. There are county roads which are duly accepted by the county for maintenance responsibilities. And then there are public roads which are deeded or dedicated to the public that are actually no one's responsibility.
That's because they're unapproved.
Well,
they're unapproved because there's nobody's responsibility.
Well, but what they'll do is if a private party will bring them up to standard, then they'll accept them.
Yeah.
But they have not, as you understand, been accepted into the county road system. So the county has currently no responsibility over them. And the provisions of 368551 originally said that the county's cannot expend highway funds on public roads, except in some rare instances. The amendments to 2737 would provide that the county could make expenditure on a public road if three distinct provisions were met, one being that the county roadmaster engineer recommends the expenditure, the county court Board of Commissioner finds that the road justifies improvement at the expense of the public, and third, that it is a dedicated road. In other words, that if there is an improvement made, there's a guarantee that the public can use it. I think that there are a number of instances when this type of a tool is useful for the county governing body. I know in the area I come from, Deschutes County, that the Lapine area south of Bend has developed rather like topsy and subdivisions and public roads, and people have purchased land there and built retirement homes there without realizing that they were not on a county-maintained road but a public road. And then in mid-December or January, when they have 3 feet of snow in their roadway, they can't understand why the county snow plows are zipping by their road.
Now, this would permit the county to expend funds to maintain public roads.
Right. Right.
Now, what about spending money to bring them up to standard?
I think that there's still two methods that these roads can become permanently the responsibility of the county. One you refer to as bringing them up to standards. People can do this through a local assessment on themselves, bringing the road up, and then in most instances the county will accept it into their system for maintenance, provided that construction, that initial expense of construction, is taken care of. The other method is by petitioning the county governing body. The people can ask them to consider taking the road into their system in any
and bring it up to standard.
Yes,
public expense.
At public expense.
Senator Carson.
This is more of a comment, I guess, than a question, Bill, but we have the same problem in Salem. We have a street that's in the county, and one of the ones that would qualify here is dedicated but not been accepted. So as you indicate, our county commissioners have the same policy of not accepting a road until it's brought up to standard. But because of some work done on a sewer by the East Salem Sewer District, this small residential road turned into a major arterial, and the trucks just pounded it to pieces. Now the people's only alternative is to bring it up to standard, $900 a lot, and get a full sidewalk curb and so on. But this bill would provide some flexibility to the county commissioners to go back in there and reestablish the road as it was prior to the trucks pounding into pieces, and yet not, in effect, not taking it over and requiring them to maintain it as a number one super road.
The other provision here provides the county then does not have a liability for failure to improve or to keep it improved, but they can go in on the one-shot basis, bring it back to a position that is travelable, and then
a lot of people looking from there.
Yeah, in this case, I think that's what most of the residents just want their street back. They're not too keen about curbs, sidewalks, and that.
Representative Earl Blumenauer is here now. He's one of the sponsors of the bill. He and I, his representative district is in my Senate district, and we both did a shoe leather survey out there on a public road recently, and found that in the summertime they live on the edge of a dust bowl, and in the wintertime they live on the edge of a lake. A great many of our residents do. And so we hope that this bill addresses itself, at least in part, to that problem. Earl, before you came, my Bill Penhall was explaining that this bill, what it really does, address itself to public roads as opposed to county roads, and would permit the county, upon petition by residents of the county, to expend public funds not only to maintain, but actually bring certain streets up to standards wherein they would then accept them, and then they'd be stuck with them, and then on to maintain them. I understand your statement. Is that right, Bill?
Yes, this is the only way that under the existing law they could take care of the situation.
Is this your understanding of what the bill is?
Right. Just giving the county some additional flexibility in dealing with a problem I thought was unique to our area, or it hadn't occurred to me that it exists elsewhere, but people, representatives from the Marion County area, after the bill was on the floor, came over to me and indicated they thought it would take care of problems that they're facing. It seems to me that there's very little liability here for the county, but a great deal of potential benefit for the residents. And just as I got into the tail end of what you're talking about, it seems to me you identified exactly what the bill does.
I have been toying with an idea of trying to find some way of making it less expensive for residents to bring their streets up to standards, and it costs, I think it's $14 a foot in the city of Portland, and I don't think, but I think that's curbs without sidewalks, as I recall, and so they can't get the 50% there because people won't pay for it. And I always seem to me, and I'm not sure that maybe it shouldn't be built into some legislation like that, so that it can be part participation, make it more flexible, so there can be part participation by the public, and work cooperatively over a period of time. I also thought that maybe a long-range contract could be made with a group of paving contractors, something like that, where they'd be ensured that their men and equipment would always be busy whenever there was the weather was such, and then had a short period of time, they go in and work over a 5-year period to improve the streets, and therefore maybe bring the cost down if they have a big contract rather than doing a couple of blocks or something. But that gets all rather complicated. But there's a real need for this, and I don't know how much pressure citizens could exert on counties to have them to come in to actually improve the streets at a public expense.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
Just as a comment, the current argument related to mass transportation, and you were mentioning the gasoline tax for mass transportation, is involved with the discussion we're having right now. Because mass transit starts using the gasoline tax, then there's going to be even less money available for this kind of thing. And the only reason I bring up the point is that you talked about not only this problem you have here occurred in the metropolitan areas, but there's dedicated roads everywhere in rural areas that have nothing more than gold wagon tracks that were dedicated years and years ago and not currently used. But people live on those roads, and I can see that I agree wholeheartedly with the concept of this, but it's going to give the county commissioners a fit.
Well, it would seem to me, going right back to what the chairman mentioned about 6 seconds ago, he's envisioned a possibility of maybe getting a contribution from some of the local people of some sort to help offset the cost. My understanding of the current law is that the county cannot, even if the the citizens offered to pay a major portion of the money of a road that is not, they don't feel they can bring up the standard. The county cannot, for a fee, go out and work to improve that road. Is that correct, Bill?
No, they can establish, in many counties, or I shouldn't say many, but a number of counties are using this to some great success. The county is actively pursuing the local improvement district approach and going as far as saying to the abutting property owners that we will come across with a proportionate amount of public monies to match with your monies for the, to bring this road up to standards. I don't know what the proportionate amounts are. I know Clackamas County is doing this with great success. The Marion County has done it, and I'm sure that there are others. So that they have this other alternative available to them. That is more of a long-range improvement, I think, than really what I see envisioned in this type of approach. This type of approach, I think, is to get the individual out of a critical situation into a livable situation, and then if they want to go on and improve the road beyond a to some higher standard, then they have other alternatives available to them in doing this, which could provide for sharing of public funds with the funds of abutting property owners.
Another thing is, could also address some mass transportation. I was gathering in some of the areas that Representative Blumenauer and I represent, if there isn't going to be mass transportation, there aren't going to be any buses there, because they're even driving the buses down those streets. And it could be used to link to link certain good streets together so that it can be a bus put up. Those places are pretty rough.
My apologies.
I just want to say that the only point I would raise, relative to Senator's point about mass transit, is careful examination of the enabling legislation that we sent over along with the resolution will show that in House Bill 2076 that would provide for those areas that do not lie within mass transit districts, that instead, as the governor's proposal would, of taking that money and saying, well, we're going to hold it here until you get in the situation where you need mass transit, that it provides the distribution of those funds for non-mass transit transportation projects, so that the local option is provided for areas that do not have or do not need mass transit, have other transportation priorities, that their proportionate share can be spent as they see fit, so that there is no attempt here to grab resources away from rural areas.
I can't.
But I don't know if that.
All right, any further questions on 2518 or 2737?
Thank you.
Aye.
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 What about 2518? Any problem with that?
I don't understand that one. Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to
you.
I think all it does is get the market road designation out of the picture.
Right.
They call all county roads out. Do you want to look at it one? I think that's all it does.
I moved it out.
Well, what
happened
to something? Senator Jernstead moves House Bill 2518 for the due pass recommendation. Discussion, first call.
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Well, all right, 2518, Senator Durnstead will carry, and I'll carry 2737.
I'd rather switch it, you can get some right.
Well, I don't care. I'll do either way.
No, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman, I was,
Are you back testifying on the two bills?
2518, I wasn't clear in my mind this early in the morning. There have been some, concerns raised by Senator Smith and Representative Denny Jones, and I thought maybe before, it went to the floor, that maybe we ought to look at their concerns and... maybe the committee would want to consider bringing it back and, looking at these, possible changes.
You might not tell us about this after we carried it on the floor, it came back the second time?
Yeah, when it came back the next time, Smith bumped it back up.
Well, I had experience this way before,
So waivers.
Yeah, so wait.
I move it back.
Any objection? Hearing none, the bill is back, 2518.
Section 2 speaks about transferring market roads to county or city road systems. And the drafter, Mr. Sullivan, envisioned that require an act of the county to identify the market roads to be brought into the county road system. The concern is because this law is so old and counties in many instances aren't sure which are market roads and which are not, that maybe we ought to reverse this system and say that the counties may designate former county market roads as ways of public easement on or before January 1st, 1974. And then if there is no designation made, then these become a part of the respective county road system. Also, the
were these the concerns of Senator Smith?
They were concerned that they would have a constituent out in Harney County somewhere that was on a market road, was not aware of it, and the county wasn't aware of it, and they failed to make the designation by January 1st, 1974.
Would that amendment take care of their objections?
Yes. This should, yes.
How about preparing the amendment?
I will do. I think it's simple, and I could probably just talk with the dean about it.
Okay, let's put this on the calendar. We got 30 calendar already.
I can have them ready, Mr. Chairman, tomorrow night. Mr. Sullivan can speak to them at that time if you like.
Do you have any issue about the calendar? You cut the line short. All right. Okay. I'll just put it on tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, and we'll need to take care of tomorrow night. Look, with respect to our meeting tomorrow night, Tony and Wally and Ken. Now, Ken is an event chairman start at 7:30, and gather he doesn't arrive at this asset for the evening, which means he's not going to be available for the meeting.
You're going to have to get a Democrat to come on with that meeting?
The meeting tomorrow night are all Washington County bills. It's work session. I think that it's going
to... What are you leading up to, Mr. Chairman?
...to move along rather expeditiously. Now,
Mr. Chairman,
let me ask you a question. Are both of you going to attend the event that Senator Durnstead is the chairman of tomorrow night?
Mm-hmm. But I'll be here to do whatever...
Mr. Chairman, why can't we have these meetings, you know... If you're going to just spend an hour and 45 minutes, I wouldn't mind doing it at 5 o'clock.
Well, here's the problem. My problem is I don't get out of most of my committees at about 5:30. I have that problem. And our meetings, because like for instance, now it's been more and more days, will start at 9:30. And it isn't. What about, you go home and eat dinner and then come back and see you at 7 o'clock? Is that what you were doing?
No, because I don't get out of mine until 5:30 or 4:00 to 6:00.
I'm kind of stretched out around 5:30 to 6 o'clock as far as I know.
Meet at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Well, that's all right with me.
Fine with
me. The following morning. Or tomorrow morning.
Our clerk is choking because she can be
as warm, yes.
So do I.
if not important, Amity is still in Hill.
Well, I don't know, I can't think of anything better than the way we're handling it now, although I'm not saying the way we're handling it now is most convenient way for us.
Works all right for the Republicans.
Pardon? In the morning? Would it be better if we had the Wednesday night meetings earlier, say at 6:30, something like that? Or 6? Does that work out?
Suit me, doesn't it?
Yeah, work
doesn't make it better.
Very good for me, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that presents no problem to me. I'd like to have a half hour break between go back and make phone calls.
My understanding is that there's another meeting going to be on the 30th, which will wipe us out that night.
Is that a function of the 30th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about tomorrow night? Shall we meet at 6 or 6:30?
We can meet at 6 if we need.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Should meet by.
All right. Bill, will you tell Ed Sullivan we're meeting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night instead of 7?
All right.
On these bills, are you aware
it's
of
just meetings? A work session, right?
Work
no hearing. So
no hearing. All right, we'll make it 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
All right. I'll be here.
And in the future, as far as I'm concerned, the Wednesday night meeting will be at 6 o'clock. And that's ready to by the end.
Well, we might want to make an excellent 5. I realize your problem, but...
So we'll look and see.
We've got a real problem on the 30th.
We haven't got a schedule for 30th, have we?
Right.
Okay, we'll go through the book and see how we're loaded up, and maybe we can skip that. But the problem is that our morning meetings are going to be shorter and shorter by way of time available to us. Okay, tomorrow night we'll meet at 6, and then we'll meet the next Wednesday night meeting that comes up. Okay, now, on 507 Bill, Senate Bill 507, we had some amendments, and I think Senator Meeker raised some concerns about it, as I recall. Well, we got some more amendments now. They're dated May 9th, and can you tell us what those... Oh, wait a minute, you got a marked up bill, haven't you?
Yes, I've got a gross bill on the second.
Have you got those, Tony?
Of the amendments.
Let's see. Where are they in the folder?
Date is May 9th.
They should be in the folder. Did you hand them out, Bill?
I gave them to you.
How many?
About 10, I believe.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Are they in the folder?
Yeah.
And then the second page, you got the engrossed bill.
Right.
Yep.
I think when we discussed 507 before, it was a concern of none of the committee members that the $1,000 could apply to varying sizes of land in varying parts of the state. In trying to work this problem out suggested to me that maybe we tie this to the possible use that land or the lack of use that land could be put to. So we have provided for an amendment here. Now 275180 says that the county court may convey to a recorded in sub A, to a recorded owner, which any property that has been acquired by as a result of delinquent taxes, back to that individual. Now, sub B would provide another alternative. If that individual was not interested in the land, then the county governing body could convey to the recorded owners of the abutting property in question, or their assigns, any property acquired by the county for delinquent taxes, if such property is insufficient in size to be used for building purposes
by reason of local ordinance. And further, in the opinion of the county court, such a sale or conveyance is in the public interest. This, I'm saying that we find difficulty in trying to describe these lands by size, width or length, and so on.
But if they're in a way to the back row of Shrewsbury because of state building purposes?
Well, they're too small for building purposes, Mr. Chairman.
What about those, remember when we started out, we said $100,000, and that could involve several acres of land in certain areas?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that land's unsuitable for building purposes, it'd still be a lot of land.
Well, I think we're talking here about size, and size governed by a subdivision ordinance or a
size of the ordinance.
Building ordinance, which says that you have to have a certain amount of certain dimensional sized land in order to use it for a building site.
Trying to make it.
Senator Carson pointed on one item, which I'm sure you'll get to, but the other item that I see, I don't see any consideration.
Sale or conveyance, you can negotiate, or yes, sometimes you can just convey it outright.
Well, it says sell and convey at the outset, mm-hmm. as follows, up the top there.
Well, they have the option.
Yep, but
deed it over or sell it.
Right.
So it says sell and convey.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, I think the point is, though, that these are in Section A, acquired by delinquent taxes. It does say that interest for not less than the amount of taxes.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that in B.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Which means the county, I'm not hung up about it, but I do think there's some value, some safeguard in saying they can't sell it for less than the taxes they're owed on.
Yeah. Well, that's the income required.
And the cost. Which is
well, you know,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kirsten.
Well, first place, I think that top one should say sell or convey, because there are a lot of times when this thing could exist that you absolutely couldn't sell it. But it would increase the value of the budding property if you just conveyed it to them and then start retaxing. It would be a lot smarter than just sit there and let
it. I think it would come up a buck.
Yeah, a buck. A sell with, you know, a dollar and other valuable consideration would.
What happens to this if we put at the end of sub A, we put or and put B as a subparagraph sub A. And then that includes the record owner or the assigned new property acquired by county board for not less than the amount of taxes. Does that do it, Folly?
Well, either that or parallel the language after delinquent taxes on B, put in for not less than the amount of taxes and well, interest accrued and charged against such property at the time of purchase.
Now, let me just ask Steve, by way of instruction, does this, if we put in or there, does that do it?
Up the top?
No, put it after valid and make B a sub paragraph of A rather than parallel paragraph. Does that tie in that? For not less than the amount of taxes and interest accrued.
Maybe,
you're going to set up two paragraphs or even two subparagraphs, or two paragraphs in the subsection. Better say or, because you usually include it in parallel.
Well, I was going to say or after we're valid.
Maybe the thing to do, Mr. Chairman, would be to start over with parallel language.
All right.
And then, in effect, say, let's do the county judge and so on. May so for not less put the for not less the amount of taxes up in the operative section up in one, and then say okay. We can take out all such sales that can come out by 1969. So we run that up there, and then we say as follows: colon A to the record owner, and I suggest we take out a sign to parallel it, and I'll speak to that in a moment. Any property acquired by the county to collect the taxes. Or two, to the record owners of abutting property, that won't work. Yeah. Okay, so you really have two things. One would be to the record owner, you can sell it back to him for delinquent taxes. Or well, two, to the
sign would be the record owner.
Well,
what he's trying
okay,
to say.
I'm trying to parallel it, and I'd like to see, I realize or signs is standard lingo to the record owners of voting properties. The difficulty is, one of the concerns we had is that we didn't want to transfer these spice strips from spidey to spidey to spidey or whatever it may be. And so the idea was to sell it off to the abutting properties.
Yeah, take the assigned
out. If we take the assigned out, you sell it to the abutting property, and you deprive the abutting property owner of assigning his ability to buy that spice strip. So you've got the merge. Now, immediately he could turn right around and convey the whole kit and caboodle to somebody else. But it does seem to me that if we convey it to the record owner.
All right. The motion is to move the language, which is in sub A, for not less than the amount of taxes and interest accrued and charged against such property, up into subsection 1, so that it covers both types of conveyances in A and B, and to delete or hit assign in A and B. And in sub 2, we have the other or signs also.
Well, now let me ask, though. I don't mean to, I'm not really hung up on it, and if that destroys the, in other words, if that's a step backward, I'll get off my horse, but I just,
I think this rounds it up.
There is the problem under A of a contract purchaser who's not a record owner, but it isn't assigned in that sense.
Wally, on that, though, we should encourage people who are contract purchasers to
record
the contract.
Yeah, so that's... Yeah.
I mean, I don't have my contract recorded. I have it for a specific reason, but it serves a useful purpose to me. But I think it's better in the public interest to do it.
Chair, I do too. I agree.
Mr. Chairman, are there other reasons besides insufficient size that would bring about a situation where you want to pick up this property? I mean, environmental control ordinance or something like that.
Well, it was my feeling, Mr. Chairman, that if by local ordinance an individual could not use a parcel for purposes of building or putting it to an adequate use, then there should be some alternative to that. If not, then it should go through the sale procedure, the auction procedure, and allow everyone the opportunity to make their bid on the property.
Mr. Carson, I think this is a good resolution of the problem. You have to auction it, except for two circumstances. One, if it's a guy that was delinquent, he can come back in and buy the county out. Or two, if you can't build on it anyway, under the present zoning ordinances, the county's authorized without the auction to sell the property to the abutting owners. Now, the question I'd ask is, Steve brought up, the question I'd ask is, are you reasonably satisfied that the mechanism for, typically when it's a county road that has been vacated, frequently they'll cut her down the middle and allow the owner to the west and the owner to the east to split it. If they don't want to, maybe the owner to the east gets it all. Are you reasonably satisfied that the mechanism for dividing between abutting property owners is sufficiently spelled out that we're not getting the county commissioners in a real jam?
Well, I think that this would certainly be something that they would have in mind when you're involved with two or more abutting owners. And they would want to make some kind of resolution between the two as far as the disposal of the question property. And I was afraid that if we tied this down too close, that there might be some situations where an abutting property owner, by reason of some physical stream or river, would not be interested in the abutting property, although he may be a abutting owner. But this was the broadest, would give the governing body the most flexibility in making a determination of both. I may not be seeing it.
Senator, if this is good for the county, why wouldn't it be good for the city?
All right, that's a good question. Well, Don, could I ask Don Jones, how do you handle the city?
Sorry, I didn't think it was in the conversation.
How do you know when I'm waiting for it? What do you do with the pipe strips in the city?
I think so, or just negotiating.
Well, maybe they do it by ordinance, but home rule. They do it by ordinance, maybe home rule county is the same.
That's
legislation needed to.
Yeah, we're talking about, Mr. Chairman, this is why we raised the point originally. This is a Lane County bill, and we believe that they had no rule to be able to do it anyway.
But they didn't.
Well, they've got another.
Why would you send the Washington County Council down?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to spend any more damn time on this bill. The rascal, rascal,
I agree with you.
And so let's adopt the amendment and send it to the floor as a due pass recommendation, but the idea the bill's going to come back with us to look at the amendment before it gets out of here.
So moved.
And that's all the work we're going to do on the bill. If it doesn't fly, it's not going to come back to committee, it's going to fly, okay?
So moved.
All right.
Aye.
Discussion. Clerk, call the roll. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That takes care of, yeah. That's a basic care of the bill.
You bet.
But don't tell him until they.
Yeah, let him search for it.
All right. On 3009, let's just see where we are on that. We're not going to do it anymore.
I'm ready whenever you are on that one.
Are you ready on 3009?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Well, Senator Meeker had a problem.
I paid your part.
Boy, just a minute.
Well, what the hell? Is this takes away the revenue rating altogether?
Wait a minute. Before I'm written out of town on a rail. These are two very, 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 very underlined rough amendments.
What kind?
Rough. Very. All right. At the last meeting, there were three problems that came up on 3009, and there were amendments asked for each of the problems. Now, the amendments before you, let's say the concept before you, the one headed Cook up on the top, is the idea of splitting out the taxing power per se. Okay. And if you'll note the language, and you'll note the insertion,
all right.
In line 9, you'll see the insertion not including the power to impose any tax, assessment, or charge for the purpose of raising revenue. Now, that should strip out the power to impose a tax for the pure purpose of raising revenue. That will not affect their ability to impose a fee with the police power regulation. It will not affect their existing power to tax for their general expenses. But it will affect their power, theoretically, to impose an income or sales tax or some other type of tax, separate and apart. Now, both of these amendments are very rough, and they have
to... Well, the other thing on the Cook amendment is that it doesn't apply to incorporated areas.
You note that down in the bottom.
Yeah. On the Meeker amendment, it automatically refers to all revenue. All revenue makers?
No, it automatically refers all ordinances. In the Meeker amendments, I've just tried to put that idea.
All ordinances?
All ordinances.
That's what you meant. No. You meant all the tax
revenue.
Yeah, this revenue.
One other thing, initiative and referendum, section 5, subs 2 and 3 of the bill refer to 10% of the registered voters using the, I believe Senator Carson last meeting brought the state guidelines. Referendum is 4% of the votes cast in the last election for governor. And initiative is 6% of the votes cast in the last.
Yeah, that's got to be changed.
Just to give you an idea of the difference, now obviously by going for the votes cast, it would make it easier to put initiative and referendum in. In Marion County, 10% of the registered voters would be 8,200 signatures, but 6% of the vote for governor would be 2,900 signatures. Multnomah County would be 32,000 versus 12,000. And Wasco County would be 109 registered voters versus 550 using the governor's standard. So it's about 60%. And, but to amend.
Mr.
Chair, I move to amend Senate Bill 3009 so that all revenue ordinances must be referred to the people.
Let me ask you something. What about putting 90 days on there? Give them 90 days rather than 60. Instead of doing that totally.
How about dropping
it? And drop it down to 6%.
so it matches statewide initiatives, remember?
Be 6 and 4%.
And the reason I say that, Tony, is that...
Oh, you mean just no emergency clause?
That's
when
right.
The Constitution is...
Put it down 90 days, give them 90 days, drop it down to 6%. And the only reason I say this is so the county commissioners, every time they pass one of these things, don't have to launch a campaign, get a...
Where is that language?
The last...
Page 4.
Page 4, line 5.
Line is, 7.
No, if you want to drop the emergency clause, it's lines 30 to 35 on page 2.
No, we don't want to drop the emergency clause. Oh, I see. If you want, well, there's a prohibition,
you'd move...
You can't use an emergency clause on raising revenue.
Yes.
Well,
page 4,
line
7.
That's the Constitution.
Right.
Okay, you have to remove it.
Well...
Where is the, well, for all practical purposes, every revenue ordinance would be referred.
I don't know
that would answer my question.
Huh?
That would answer my question.
Now, the thing that Cook wants, it says ordinance adopted under this act and exercise.
He just wants to take up revenue.
Well, it says up here, oh, the police power shall not apply inside of the law and use for it.
He wants whatever the power that he has.
All right, well, the amendments we want then over on line 7 of page 4, change the 60 days to 90 days, and change the 10% to 6%.
Well, you have to change it on page 3, line 30.
Yeah.
I think what we, let me say it this way, what we want to do is parallel the county ordinance bill to
the
Oregon Constitution requirement.
It'll be 90 days.
So it should be 90 days, and it doesn't apply to...
Mr. Chairman, he'd like to look at the whole bill.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're not going to take any action for it.
Okay, all right. Well, let's get...
Amendments or anything else.
Let's get the decision down. You want, you're willing to go along with the idea of 90 days, no emergency clause as it is on raising revenue, and no automatic referral on revenue?
No automatic referral, but lower the number of...
Mr. Chairman,
6 and 4.
6 and 4.
One's initiative, one's referendum.
Yeah. Send me. You want to know what happened to your motion?
Yes, I would like to know what happened to my motion.
What was your motion?
Well, my motion was that all revenue ordinances be referred, which would replace that 90 and 6% section. Is that correct?
Well, it wouldn't replace it. We need
for revenue. There'd just be a separate section dealing with revenue ordinance.
Yeah.
But the motion failed.
I didn't hear a vote.
You ain't going to have a hit now. Okay. Is there further discussion on Senator Mitchell's vote? All right. Those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will signify by saying no. No. I heard one eye vote.
Yeah. You're right. I move that we amend the bill so that the revenue section matches the Oregon Constitution.
Further discussion? Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Motion carried. I think that's enough work on 3,009 today.
Let's take care of the Cook suggestion.
We're not
how do you
take
that,
Lori?
Ask for a motion.
We taking care of the revenue aspect. I think
right.
What Steve's saying, how about the ordinances adopted by the county should not have...
Shall apply only in the unincorporated area of the county.
All right. Senator Meeker moves the Cook amendment discussion. Those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
No. The motion failed.
We want to do anything about the initiative referendum.
Yeah.
Well, we did it.
Parallel to it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, right? Meeting adjourned.